Europa ma wielkie ambicje, nie tylko być w tym świecie, ale też decydować o tym, w którym kierunku ten świat będzie się rozwijał. Porozmawiamy o tym zaraz w naszym studiu. Dzień dobry, kłania się Zbigniew Bartuś. Jesteśmy na Europejskim Forum Nowych Idei w Sopocie, a moim gościem w studiu Dziennika Gazety Prawnej i z Szkoły Głównej Handlowej w Warszawie jest Christian Laquest, profesor Christian Laquest, politolog Sciences Po de Paris. Good morning, Mr. Professor.
Good morning.
Good morning. The EU has great ambitions. It does not want to be a reactive community only. Reactive community. You want to lead the world in many areas. So is it realistic in a situation where the share of EU countries in the global economy has been decreasing for years, or how much we need to change to make it real?
Well, what is sure is that the EU, if it wants to be a power in the world, will have to change. Because if you look at what's going on in Asia, the also dynamism of the American economy,
an increase, faster growth,
an increase of growth, but also of salaries, which is very attractive, also for foreigners, will have to react, and we cannot stay with this very small growth rate that we have, especially in the big economies like Germany and France. And this goes together with innovation. This goes together with coping with the new challenges, which are artificial intelligence, digital economy. We need to take more risk in investing. If you look at the big platforms now, digital platforms, none of them are European. They're all Americans, and they attract the European know-how, right? The French, the Polish, the German engineers, they're all going to Silicon Valley in San Francisco. This is not normal. So we need to react and to think in terms of innovation, research. If there are two words which are very catchwords, which are very important for the future of Europe, it's innovation, research.
So is Mario Draghi's plan a good answer to this challenge?
Well, I don't know if it's an answer, but I will take Mario Draghi's plan more as a realistic observation,
diagnosis.
Exactly, diagnosis of the situation. Now, would the member states of the European Union be able to take, a way in the direction of what Draghi proposed? This is another issue, and it's another issue. Also because we have other constraints, budgetary constraints, yeah. Absolutely evident. If you take my country, France, the level of the public debt and the level of public deficits are extremely huge, and it's interesting because
it's a real problem.
It's a liberal president, mm-hmm. who did not take care of the situation. Germany, it's a bit better, but there is also constraints in terms of budget. So
we have demographic problems.
Demographic problem because we are aging society. Exactly, exactly.
Especially in Poland.
Poland, Germany, well, everywhere. Even in France, which was a bit different in terms of birth rate, now it's decreasing, and it raises also the questions of qualified migration in the future, right?
Qualified migration. Control the immigration.
Yes, but I have to say, for the moment, it's taboo to speak about this issue. But if you take the German industrialist, the BDI, for instance, or if you take MEDEF in France, the equivalent, well, they all know that we will need qualified migrants in the future, but nobody is able to articulate that in the public debate because this is not something the population would like to hear for the moment. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult to speak about migration in rational terms.
Yes, yes. The populists are the main source of the speaking about the migration now.
Well, yes, because this is one of the key issue for their elections. So, but of course, the kind of migration they are talking about is not the qualified migration. They are talking about illegal migration, and this is also a problem. This is a problem. If you are Greece, if you are Italy today, you are confronted every day or every week with boats coming with the illegal migrants. Well, this is also something. We have to understand that it cannot stay like this because we don't have the means for social integration.
Mm-hmm. Let's come back to Mario Draghi's plan. He says that we need more integration, but different integration than before. What do you think about it? Is it possible, the wider and deeper integration in the same circumstances?
Well, I think the challenge is probably right, again, in rational terms. But the main problem is that, first of all, we are going everywhere towards a feeling of renationalization of politics and policies, not only politics, but also policies. And second, it's true that with a community or a union of 27, maybe tomorrow 30 plus, it's more and more difficult to have integration, everybody at the same level. You know, we have to introduce some differentiation also. But this is what we have to invent, you know, and no choice about that. But there are some policies in which differentiation is not an issue. If you take internal market, for instance, if you take competition policy, we can perfectly have it for everybody. But then if you go to other issues like defense, like security, etc., then the traditions are not the same according to the countries. And here it's typically domains where you can have more differentiation between the member states.
Maybe one of the problems is that we had a French point of view, German point of view, and now we have Central European point of view. So what is the role of such countries like Poland with the miracle of economy last 30 years? What is the role of such countries in this new European Union?
Well, my understanding of the situation is that probably Franco-German leadership is not enough. We need to have a strong involvement of other big member states. I know that
after Brexit, especially after Brexit,
especially because the UK lived, and there is a special role for Poland, especially after the election of 2023, where we know that now we have a liberal pro-European prime minister and government in this country. So everything which goes in the direction of strong cooperation between Berlin, Warsaw and Paris is good for Europe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have to think also about Italy. We don't have to forget, even if the presence of a populist prime minister does not make the situation easier, but it's a soft populist, right? There is. If you take
better than we expected,
Madame Meloni, you have the discourse and you have the practice,
yes.
And sometimes you have a gap between mm-hmm. both. Mm-hmm.
So, is there a tension between you as a scientist and you as the citizen of Europe? Are there any differences? Are you optimist, pessimist as a scientist?
You know, I am involved in European integration for as a professor, as a scholar for more than 35 years, and I have to say that some periods were better, right? I can just remember the 90s where we were so optimistic about the future of Europe, especially after the collapse of communism, etc. And we were thinking about this big liberal Europe with single currency and then maybe political union. Well, this time is over.
Seemed to be easier. Yes, than today.
Yes, I had a lot of expectation, maybe dreams at this time, which I do not have yet anymore. I think we see that the reality of nation states is still very, very high. And, you know, there is another issue. We don't have to forget that we have a strong tradition of welfare state in Europe. So if we go in the direction of more liberal Europe, then it's also at the expenses of a number of people inside the society, right? And this is precisely those who request a stronger nation state, because stronger nation states means distribution, etc. And if you take your country, peace is not popular among, let's say, modest people in the society just because of the anti-German discourse. It's also because peace knows how to distribute social policies, right? And this is...
We are a little bit hostages of this narration. We are.
And this is something we probably underestimated 20 years ago. But after the big crisis of 2008, you know what happened in Greece, etc., then it comes really at the agenda. And when you look at the opinion polls in terms of supporting Europe, it's interesting to see that educated people are supporting Europe massively compared to non-educated people. So it means something. It means something. It means that people like journalists, professors, etc., they probably have the impression of benefiting from Europe, which is not the case of the manual workers, small employees, etc. And this is a real issue, and I don't know how to cope with that.
But optimistic or?
Optimistic, yes, but. If we are not afraid of the future. You know, I always remember the words of the Polish Pope, you know, when he came back to Poland during communism, don't be afraid. And to a certain extent, this is what I have to, this is my message to my fellow European citizens. Don't be afraid, because I have the impression that we are afraid of everything, right? And if we want to progress, if we want to be in a society with a future, we don't have to be afraid. Why being so?
Very good message for the people. Thank you for this interview.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Moim gościem był Christian Lacquesne, politolog, sciences po de Paris. Bardzo dziękuję za uwagę.